In our scripture reading, we read where Jesus was baptized of John in the Jordan River, and immediately upon coming out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit and immediately was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, many of us have heard of the book, have read the book, have studied the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. It is still number 8 on Christian best-selling lists. It's a good book, fine book, but in my studying, in my praying, in my pursuit for truth, I find it to be backwards and wrong. Amen. It's got it back. It's got the cart before the horse. And with all due respect, I mean to correct that error. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, you who, through Jesus Christ our Lord on this earth, opened blinded eyes, unstopped deaf ears, made the lame to walk, and the dumb to speak, we ask for the same mercies this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Do we have a purpose-driven life, or do we have a Holy Spirit-driven purpose? There are many purposes in this world, many causes, many things that drive folks. Some people are driven by the pursuit of money and wealth. Some people are driven by the desire to become famous, to be a somebody. Now, purpose is a reason to be. It's an aim, and it's a goal. Driven means made to go, motivated to action, fervently dedicated. I love words. I love to search out the meaning of words. I want to know what things mean. Jean tells stories to me about how when she would get toys or things or tools, when she was a child, she had to be admonished not to take them apart because she always wanted to know how things work. I want to know what words mean, and I want to know what people, I want to understand things. Now, life, I took these words, purpose-driven life, and I broke them down. What is life? Life is spirit. Without the spirit, the body is dead. And what is God? God is a spirit. He is life. He is the originator of life. And Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Life is also breath or wind or its animation. If somebody has spirit, they're lively, they're alive. We want to know what is our purpose. I have the illustration, and I've already spoken of it to some folks. I've talked with Jean about it. Jean drives ponies. They hitch this pony up to a cart, and then the driver gets in the seat and directs that animal to go a certain direction. But that animal is like us. It has a will of its own. And they need to be trained to do what the driver wants them to do and to go where the driver wants them to go. It is not the purpose of the mule to direct where he goes. It is the purpose of the driver to get that mule to go where he wants it to go. We are not driven by purpose. We are driven by the Holy Spirit to do His will. God's purpose is that each one of us is to become more and more like Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And then that we would reproduce his life in the lives of those around us. Now, get your Bible out and look up Galatians 4 and 19. And whoever gets it first, read it out loud, please. We are to reproduce his life in the lives of those around us. Someone got it.
My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be born in me.
Until Christ be formed in you. Then somebody get Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. And read it, please.
Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus.
Perfect. Perfect in Christ Jesus. What does perfect mean? In the context of this scripture, it means to become mature, to perfect, to become more and more and more like Jesus Christ. We need to build the principles of God's Word into a person's life so that he is equipped to understand and to follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit in knowing how to respond to any situation with Christ-like attitudes. It is a Spirit-driven purpose that we are to seek. How to take my will and subject it to his will. How are we prepared to accomplish God's purposes? Here's how it happens. You get problems. You get irritations. And you get responsibilities. And these things motivate us to search out his word and to develop our full potential. Let me say that those three things again. How are we prepared to accomplish God's purposes? He gives us problems. He allows problems to come our way. He allows irritations to come our way. People come into your life and they rub you the wrong way. How do you respond? And responsibilities. God gives you gifts. He gives you responsibilities. He gives you talents. What do you do with them? When we are given a challenge, we are motivated to say, what do I do now? Well, when you talk to God about it, what's that called? Prayer. And we develop our full potential. And then, a Spirit-driven purpose comes through eight callings. I've got eight callings, and the goal, our ultimate goal, is to be a star witness. Now, what does that mean? This is to become one who has a vital message, who must be available at all times to share it. We have a vital message.
Yes.
We need to understand it. We need to be able to explain it. We need to be able to go to folks and explain to them the questions they may have about this wonderful faith, this salvation, this present truth that is unique to us alone. Our first of eight callings is we are driven to the repentance of salvation. We need to give the Lord Jesus his rightful place at the center of our lives. This develops faith. This produces faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Yes.
He that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Yes.
Faith, when exercised, becomes stronger. The beginning of our faith is repentance to God, to ask God to forgive us of our sins, and to make us or put us in right standing with God. That is the fundamental. That is number one. Romans 10 and 9. Somebody quickly get that. Romans 10 and 9. We need to develop or be driven to repentance. I love hearing those pages, Russell.
And if you confess your sins with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
That's right.
Amen.
And if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, it will produce. It will make you whole. Our second of eight callings is we are driven by the Holy Spirit to separation from darkness.
Yeah.
It helps us discern and turn from evil in all its forms. 1 Peter 2 and 9, somebody look that up. It is going to make us become virtuous. Somebody read it, please. 1 Peter 2 and 9. First, we have developed faith.
That we are a chosen generation.
Chosen generation.
A royal priesthood.
Royal priesthood.
A holy nation. A
peculiar
people.
Peculiar, but...
Show forth the
that's right.
Of him.
Amen. Amen. The key word in that whole passage is holiness. Virtue. Virtue. So our first... calling that we are called to, driven to the repentance through faith, driven to separation from darkness, and that develops virtue in our lives. The third of eight callings is we are driven to dedication to the light. Commit yourself to the light of the Scripture. Love truth. Develop this desire, this overwhelming pursuit in your life of truth. We need to know the truth. Romans 12 and verse 2. We need knowledge. We need to know. You need to know. Somebody get that, read it, please. Romans 12. Perfect will of God. Will of God. Spirit driven. Spirit driven to knowledge. Spirit driven to understand. Light. We need to know. Number four. We are driven to service. Somebody look up Matthew 6 and 19. We need to become involved in lasting achievement. We need to accomplish lasting goals. Somebody got that?
Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal.
Amen. Self-control. We need to develop self-control, driven to service, and not being selfish. Driven to self-control. Number five, we are driven to endurance in suffering. 1 Peter 4 and 12, somebody find that. What we need to expect is to be misunderstood. It just happens. You live for the Lord, you're going to be misunderstood. Somebody have that? Read it, please. Now, bad things happen to good people. And it just so happens to be the lot of the Christian to be misunderstood. We are to develop endurance. Endurance. Let me go back over the things that we are developing here. One, driven to repentance. The repentance of salvation. To develop faith. Driven to separation from darkness. That's virtue. We want to develop virtue. driven to dedication to the light. We want knowledge. And driven to service, to become involved in lasting achievement, and that is self-control. Number five, driven to suffering, to endurance in suffering, and we want to be overcomers. We need to endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Then there's Romans 8:29. You look that up while I go to this next one. Number six is driven by the Holy Spirit to humility in our responses. We respond as God would have us to do to those who wrong us. When we are wrong, there is a correct Holy Spirit-driven response. What does it say, Romans 8 and 29?
For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
And that's that old question, what would Jesus do? Turning the other cheek. Forgive those who despitefully use you. Be honest in all your dealings. Do that which is right in the sight of God. And it's not going to be popular, but our response should be a Christ-like response. Godliness is the key word there. Then the seventh of our eight callings, our spirit-driven callings, is we are driven to alertness in sharing. 2 Corinthians 1 and 4 is the scripture. Somebody follow that or find that. We need to be alert to those that have been hurt, to others. We need to be attuned to the suffering of those round about us and not to be isolated in our own little worlds of ambivalence, of not caring. The big things of the world today, that the attribute of the world that is so distressing to me, and I've said it before, is apathy and ignorance. People do not want to know, and they do not care. Let it not be said of the church that it did not care. We need to be caring people. We need to feel and bear one another's burdens. We need to pray one for another that you may be healed. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. And if they have committed any sins, it shall be forgiven them.
Amen.
That's in James. I don't know exactly what verse, but I know that's pretty close. We need to bear one another's burdens. We need to have brotherly kindness. Be alert to those round about you who are suffering. And not only that, there are other Christians, other Adventists, other folks who are suffering, who are persecuted, who are behind bars, who are enduring great and terrible things for the name of Christ. We need to be one with them. We need to pray for them. And number eight, the Holy Spirit wants to drive us to teach and to make disciples. Colossians 1 and verse 29. Somebody find that. We are to guide others through the same steps that God has taken us. What you know, what God has given you, your understanding of the scriptures needs to be shared. You need to do what you can to help others find Jesus Christ, to find the way, to find the light, to be prepared for the coming of the Lord. It's on our shoulders. It's our responsibility. We cannot do it without being filled with the Holy Spirit and driven and led and guided by Him. We are not waiting for the latter day outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit right now to do the job. And the only way the Holy Spirit is going to do the job is if we volunteer and say, take the reins of my life. I am no longer the mule pulling the cart on my own will, but I am going to allow you to drive me in the direction that I should go. Take the reins of my life, dear Lord, and use me as you will. Not my will, but thine be done. We are the people, the children of God. If we do not take this message to the world, if we do not share this with our neighbors and friends, then they will be lost. And maybe some of us will be lost in the process. Because this is what we have to do. What does Colossians 1:29 say? That's Colossians 1 and 29. Love. Love. Why are we driven? We are driven by the Holy Spirit to love. And if we love, then we want the welfare of others. We desire them to be saved. We desire them to have the wondrous blessings that we have. So many people do not understand the importance of keeping the Sabbath. They do not understand the joy of it. They do not understand the blessedness of it. Instead of making an excuse for why they do not obey the commandment, but that the Holy Spirit would grip them and fill them with love so that they would love Jesus Christ, so that if you love me, Jesus said, you will obey my commandments.
Yes.
And that love, the love of Christ, the love for others, that brotherly kindness, the godliness, the endurance, the self-control, all these things, virtue and knowledge and faith, these are fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
Which come through reading your Bible, praying, studying to show yourself approved, asking God to open your eyes of your understanding and give you a heart like Christ that seeks and saves the lost. To go find that lost sheep, that one that has gone astray. And only you can do it for some cases. I can't be everywhere at once. Jesus could not be everywhere at once. You cannot be everywhere at once. But the Holy Spirit can. If we are a Spirit-filled congregation, we can go everywhere proclaiming the salvation of the Lord. And we can do it. You in your small corner and I in mine. You in your little sphere of influence and I in mine. If we are Holy Spirit filled, these fruit of the Spirit will be visible to those round about us, and they will come to us and they will ask us, what is it about you that attracts me to you? Well, it's the Holy Spirit, because no man can come to God except the Spirit draw them. And when the Holy Spirit is speaking through one of us to some hungry heart, they come. They come. It is our Holy Spirit-driven purpose to proclaim. And this is the ninth calling. I'm going to call it the ninth. I only said eight, but there's nine. The Spirit will drive us to proclaim the present truth. Our unique message will be presented most effectively if we allow the Holy Spirit to develop the eight callings I just talked to you about. Do you desire to know God's will for your life? How many really, really want to know? And how many, if they do want to know, actually will do something about it if they did know? Do you desire to know God's will for your life? Well, then do those things. What I have just proclaimed to you this day, if you will repent of your sins and come to God with an honest heart and ask Him to forgive you, get that done. If you've never done that before, get it done. They have an expression down south here, just get her done.
Yeah.
That is first and foremost. You've got to get right with God. You have to have your sins forgiven. You've got to know that should you die or should the Lord appear, that at the resurrection you would be heaven ready. That assurance must come to your heart. You must know that. You cannot be in doubt. If you don't know whether you're saved or not, you're not. That's the simple truth. You have to know. In the gospel or in the epistle of John, it said, "These things are written so that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that life is in His Son."
Yeah.
And we have a know-so salvation. We can say that if Jesus should come today, I am prepared. And then our job is to prepare others. We have a Spirit-driven purpose. And let's let the Spirit drive. Let's not be the one doing the pulling. We can do the pulling, but we have to follow the direction of the Lord. The rudders in a boat, the helm, the Bible says in the book of James, it's a small little thing. And the boat will go wherever the governor listeth, it says, or whichever way it's steered. They can take the little steering handle there, and that rudder will turn the boat this way or that way. So we put bits in the horse's mouths, and a little thing can make that horse turn to the left or turn to the right. And it says, and our tongue is just like that. Whoa, where are you going here? The thing that God wants most to control is your tongue. Now, did you believe that? You understand that? He that can control his tongue can control the rest of his body or her body. Doesn't matter. So we need to have a new tongue, not a babbling tongue that nobody can understand, but we need to speak in new tongues. And only the Spirit can give you a new heart so that your tongue will pour forth blessing and not cursing, to do and say that which is right. That is the new tongue that he talks about. A changed life, a Holy Spirit-driven life. If you would like to have a Holy Spirit-driven life, it starts now. Now is the accepted time. Don't put it off for tomorrow. Get right with God today. Then you will be driven to separation from the darkness. Then you will not want to do the things you used to do. If you smoke, if you drank, if you ran around, you did all these things, and you're having problems with it today, you need to let the Holy Spirit deliver you and drive you to repentance and to receive the power of God into your life to change. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. That's the truth. Without the Holy Spirit, we are powerless. Without loving Him, we are lawless. Because then the law or the Ten Commandments do not matter. And that's what lawlessness is not taking any heed to the law. So we need to be separated from darkness. We need to be dedicated to the truth, to the light, to know the truth and let the truth set you free. And we need to be kind to one another. For if you have the tongues of men and angels, and you can do miracles, and you can heal the sick, and you don't love your brother or your sister, or somebody bugs you and you can't stand them, you need to get that right. And the only way you can get right with God is to get right with your fellow man. He says, if you do not forgive your brother or your sister's trespasses, neither will I forgive your trespasses. So many things that the Holy Spirit will drive you to do. But are you willing to be driven? Now, the purpose is God's. It's not our purpose. But the purpose is God's. We need to get in tune and in harness with our Lord through the Holy Spirit. And then we need to make disciples. Any of you would like to rededicate and to seek the Holy Spirit in your own lives? Let's just bow our heads and let's just pray at this time. Heavenly Father, we are the clay. You are the potter. we are the vessel, and you decide whether it's to honor or to dishonor. We are the mule, and you are the driver. You are the one that makes the decisions. We want you from this moment on, Father, to be our decision maker, the motivation behind everything that we do, one to help us develop our characters, and one to help us develop the characters of others, to help make them heaven ready for when you come. Father, we so dedicate our lives at this particular moment and ask that you empower us with your Holy Spirit. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.